The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Bengals beat writers, fantasy football failure Fletcher Page and Paul Dana Jr. take you inside Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, I'm always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. Welcome into the officially eliminated from the playoffs edition of the Walkout. You know, it was happiness for a number of hours. The Bengals beat the Raiders 30-16. Two bad teams played a bad game, but the Bengals were less bad.
I thought the men were going to carry Marv off on their shoulders.
On his shoulders. Take him out with a win. But only for a few hours is last. Pittsburgh beats New England, and the Bengals have officially been eliminated from the Jeff Driscoll-led playoff push that so many had dreamed of with that game. So, hey, we can officially say goodbye to the 2018 season, and that makes three straight years with no playoffs after five straight years with playoffs. I'm not going to go to the same place. We always go on the Walkout immediately, though. I'm just not going to do it. Let's live the positivity while we're inside of the stadium here, walking out.
Yeah.
It smells a little like trash, but let's talk about what doesn't smell like trash. There was some stuff to talk about from today.
Yeah, there was some good performances by young core players for the future. Joe Mixon, once again, you know, carried it 27 times. That's a career high. Sam Hubbard played his ass off. He had two sacks. Should have had a touchdown if it wasn't for Frosty Rucker and all of his veteran savviness being able to gritty, knock
savvy.
That thing down.
Yeah.
And Tyler Boyd, you know, passed the 1,000-yard receiving mark. So, you know, those three guys played really well.
Yeah, you know what? Through this five-game losing streak, which, man, that stuff is hard on guys. I mean, it really is. And you do, despite, I know fans get really mad and frustrated. Like, I really do. You have to feel for these players. Because, you know what? People can make bad decisions, and you can hate coaches, and you can hate, you know, organization. Whatever. You can have whatever your feelings are about why things have gone wrong. Dude, these players are putting their bodies on the line
every
week to go out and lose. Emotionally, it just destroys people. Like, it's just brutal. So even if they were eliminated from the playoffs a few hours later, and even if it was the Raiders, and no matter, like, I feel for these guys, and you feel for people who are out there busting it, like guys like Mixon and Boyd, who are playing and trying every week to keep this whole team into it, to go out there, play well, have great games, and get a win finally to bust the five-game skid.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are figuring things out. I think we talked about there were a lot of people that wanted Tyler Boyd not to be around anymore after last season.
Yeah.
So everybody's always got something to prove. I mean, I think it was important for Joe Mixon for himself to be able to sort of, you know, it wasn't good to have to do it with AJ out and Andy out. But, you know, Joe is a bona fide star.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that can carry an offense, and he's proven that in the past 2 weeks. So while there's not a lot going on with the playoff picture and all that stuff, I think you know, I think these have been an important couple of weeks for some of these guys.
When I watch Boyd and Mixon play, I come away more frustrated than anything. Imagine if these guys had what was supposed to be around them. You know, this was what they needed. They needed Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd to become stars around AJ Green and Andy Dalton and Tyler Eifert and all the number of other people that were supposed to be involved in this offense. And so it's hard to not think, man, how much more dangerous this entire thing would look if it did have even a few of those components
right.
that we just mentioned, because that was what they really needed, was to have a running game that could kick ass and, you know, a second receiver that could take pressure off right. of AJ. And outside of the beginning of the season, we never really got to see that. But, I mean, all these people that we're talking about are back next year. And, in theory, healthy next year. You know, Eifert, who knows. But, I mean, you've got I've said it before, and we spent a lot of time these past couple weeks talking about it. This is not a rebuild roster for a lot of the people, because of a lot of people we're talking about today.
Yeah, on offense, I think there's still some questions, obviously, John Ross needs to answer. I don't know that he'll ever be able to. How the hell, though, are a quarterback still under-throwing him on the deep ball
yeah.
or throwing him out of bounds?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it's twice today.
Yeah, I know. You would just like to see him play with somebody that can wing it deep with consistent accuracy. I mean, we saw some of Andy Dalton with that this year, but not a ton. He wasn't really playing as much. They weren't really running him deep as much when Dalton was healthy. And now that he's playing more, Driscoll's deep ball is bad, and his overall accuracy is bad. And you see why he's a backup quarterback, and he's what he is. You know, so yeah, you kind of wonder. But look, I will say this about John Ross. Not that I'm a believer, but for all those that are ripping him, I mean, like you said, people were running Tyler Boyd out of town in his second year. And so who knows? I mean,
right.
But regardless, though, when you get into a core, Hubbard, Bates, you know, Geno is signed. He had 3 sacks. Geno, 3 sacks, a week full of just giving thousands upon thousands of dollars to 50-plus Greater Cincinnati families. Geno, I approached, hey, Geno, 3 sacks? You gave all kinds of money to people this week? Man, you want to talk about it? Nope. You want to talk about week of giving? Talk to my wife about week of giving. No comment.
That's what Carlos said after after any game, any time, that this would be the time Geno should speak. And he goes, I wonder how that went with his charity. Like, did Geno talk at the charity? Because I bet
no,
he didn't.
He did not. His wife did, in yeah. fact. And that's all fine. That's whatever. But the point is, they're not really losing a lot of these people that we're talking about. You're bringing so much of that back. There's always, you know, roster goes, these players, the guys that they have under contract and that they're going to build around, there's a lot of them. They're young. They're still emerging for the most part, and they're under contract. You know, you can have roster continuity even if there's changeover elsewhere.
Hey, the game is slowing down for me. I'm entering like my third month. Here's how I see it going.
Yeah.
You got a new coach coming in, clean
right.
slate, got an advantageous situation with Andy Dalton to be the quarterback in 2019. Potentially you could draft somebody to be the next quarterback moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking big picture here.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing else to think.
But there's, like you said, there's a lot of pieces that you really like about this offense. Maybe get a little offensive line help. And I don't think it's, like you said, it's not a rebuilding roster.
And I, you know, in looking the, you know, defensive backfield, William Jackson is obviously going to be back. Drake Kirkpatrick, for all you can say, he can play a little bit of corner in the league. Maybe he's over, whatever. He's not completely awful. Maybe they bring Darquez back. Maybe they don't. Jesse Bates looks good. Sean Williams is still under contract. Gino and Carlos got big exceptions. Sam Hubbard. Carl Lawson will come back off his ACL. Ryan Glasgow looked really good before his ACL tear this year. Fix the linebacker room.
Yeah.
Which you have Nick Vigil is coming back. He's under contract. And your core, and then you add a bunch of draft picks, and we'll see what they do in free agency.
And it's not like the division is that scary.
No,
you know, look around, it's.
And you're listening to this, and you're like, you're right. This team's winning the Super Bowl next year. They're gonna do it. No, I'm not saying that, but I think the point is, when you look at what has happened this year, you can see the core of the roster is not something that needs to be rebuilt. So many other things do need fixing, though, obviously, and it starts with the head coach and goes on down from there, that obviously needs some fresh life. This was a team that struggled to deal with adversity and blew games that they shouldn't have blown this year because of that. So anyway, Oakland stinks. They did beat Pittsburgh last week. What a weird league.
It's a weird division.
Yeah, it's a weird division. So now the Browns are eliminated. Bengals-Browns, what could have been an elimination game full of tension, is just a game between two teams that are eliminated. Hughes returned to Cleveland. We hope to have more on that this week. We will see what our access to Hugh Jackson will be. Requests have been made. So we hope to have that for you on Cincinnati.com. As always, we will have everything else. I mean, look, maybe they're playing out the spring, maybe they're not, but we're officially down to 2 weeks until we can end and answer the one question that continues to need to be answered. Hey, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, what is the answer? I don't know. Go back, BBP2, we had the media roundtable, myself, Fletcher, Richard Skinner from Local 12, Kat Terrell from ESPN, and Jay Morrison from The Athletic. We all talked about our opinions, and we made predictions of what we think will happen with Marv, what will happen with Hugh, what will happen with Andy, what will happen with the core of this roster, and all of that. So go back and listen to that. It's on the BBP2 this week if you want to hear more about our opinions on that. Outside of that, I've got enough, unless you have anything else. Last home game of the year, congratulations.
It was all good till I showed up.
It was really, things were rolling. Fletcher shows up, and it goes straight in the tank. It's totally irresponsible for this.
I saw the peak of the mountain in Atlanta.
Yeah, that was.
Yep.
You got there, and it was like, wow. The hope. This could be different. This could be the year. Win now could totally be happening. And then
the climax was Joe Mixon running off the sideline to celebrate with AJ and that touchdown. And then they tumbled head over heels off that mountain.
Cover zero was the first part of the snowball. And then they went down the mountain. They plateaued a little. It's like they reached the bottom of the mountain today and just kind of rolled off into space a little bit. Now they're just laying there. You're like, ah, my knee.
But it's just a knee, so you can.
It's just a knee, but you're just, at least you're not tumbling down the mountain anymore.
Right.
The ride is over. So anyway, now the good part about when they're officially eliminated is we no longer have to worry about talking about, oh, you still trying to win for this season. No, we can officially talk about what really matters now, which we have been for a while, but.
Pivoting.
Yeah, time to pivot. All right, thanks everybody for pivoting with us, and we will talk to you on the BBP later this week. Have a good one.